All right, you guys. So here's what's going on today. Turning Point USA has issued a statement, a couple of statements, actually. For one, they say the reason that Mikey McCoy walked away so swiftly after Charlie got shot is because Charlie himself told Mikey to do that. Charlie somehow drilled into Mikey McCoy's mind exactly what he should do in that circumstance. Are you buying that? Any buyers of that? I'd like to know, because if there are, I'd like to inform you. I didn't want to say it this way, but I am, in fact, a Nigerian princess. I am stranded currently on an island. I'm going to need you to send your credit card details right now so I can return home. And if you do, I will transfer you $1 million when I get back to my kingdom. Frank Turek is also being added into the mix. He is telling me, plus other conspiracy theorists, to shut up unless we have the facts. Okay, Frank, challenge accepted. Let's learn some more facts today. Lastly, in case you missed it while I was away, they infiltrated our book club. Our book club has gone viral. My one safe place. I only had one safe space, and it was my book club. And the Zionists are now there. And they say, you guessed it, I am going crazy. Welcome back to Candace. Today is actually a really important episode. I want you to pay attention, very close attention to what I'm about to share with you. A lot of this is gut instinct. That's what we do here. And I think it will change the way you think about the world. I'm going to start by building upon what we discussed yesterday. I had mentioned to you all, honestly, that something was happening in April of 2018. A lot of things actually were happening in April of 2018. But of course, hindsight is 2020. And I'm going to share some things with you. I don't know what everything means, but I know that it means something. Back when I did my initial tribute video to Charlie, some people took issues theologically when I said that the day that Kanye West tweeted, "I love the way Candace Owens thinks," Charlie and I freaked out because we were convinced that we had somehow manifested that. I'm aware, I've received tons of emails. This goes against Christian doctrine. This was 2018. I was not a Catholic, and I think it's important to discuss that and why we thought we manifested that, because it is extremely relevant to what took place thereafter. I have to explain that moment to you. As I showed you yesterday, Charlie was having a lot of vivid dreams, dreams that he said he had throughout his entire life, that he was going to die in a really tragic, quick way. But especially in April, he was having vivid dreams that something big was about to happen. This is in the weeks leading up to the tweet, okay? Full stop. Charlie knew and I felt that we were on the brink of something big. Okay, you have to remember, we were young. I'm a lot older than Charlie. I was Charlie 24 at the time, maybe even 23 years old at the time. And we were doing the Fox News gambit, every show on Fox News. But I was really just focused on BLM, Black Lives Matter. I felt they were lying to Black Americans and it was going to harm us. Neither one of us was very well known at this time. We had just kind of gotten together the November before. And it is just a fact that we were listening to Kanye West music every day. I mean, literally every day, especially the song Power. Okay. I was telling Charlie explicitly, we have to get to Kanye West. I can tell by his music. This is what I'm saying to Charlie. I know these lyrics inside and out. This person does not want to be a part of the system. If we can get to Kanye, I think he'll join my Blexit movement. I've got to wake up Black Americans to this scam that they're using our race to control our emotions, which now to me seems so molecular because I see how much bigger the issue is. But I just knew that Kanye West was not a part of the simulation, so to speak, and that the song Power, as Kanye said, is a battle cry to beat yourself because of the lyrics. And I have this old text that I'm going to show you from Charlie. This is April 13th, 2018. This is what I said to him, just so you can kind of get the vibe of what was going on. I said, yo, Kanye West writing a philosophy book called Break the Simulation. We need him, Charlie. He is Blexit AF. And Charlie wrote back, I love Kanye. He's my soul brother. I will find a way to him. I promise we have to. It's crazy to look at that and realize that he's about to tweet us, about to tweet me. So there was this incredible buildup and we felt this palpable energy. a shifting almost that we kept discussing in all the messages. We're like, something's happening in April. Something's happening. And then on April 16th, Mike Cernovich, you might be familiar with him, he does this series of tweets, having not spoken to me or Charlie about how we were feeling, saying that he was speaking to a lot of his friends who could feel that there was some sort of an energy shift happening. So you imagine, we're like, what? There is something definitely happening here. How could Mike Cernovich randomly be tweeting this series of tweets? It shocked me. So I sent those tweets to Charlie. I'm going to show you that now. These are from Mike Cernovich. He has since deleted these tweets, but you can ask him. He wrote, a change in energy. This is Mike Cernovich. A change in energy which stuns high consciousness. People does not mean bad. It simply means that it's cosmic. A paradigm is shifting. Something is happening. And that people get angry at me shows the shift. Why care? The energy manifests itself in different ways. He goes on to say, several high consciousness people I've spoken to independently told me about feeling a shift in energy. Something is going on. It happened 2 to 3 weeks ago. I'm not talking politics or elections. It's much bigger. Energy shift. I saw this and I obviously screenshot it. I sent the tweets to, not screenshot, I just sent the tweets to Charlie. And I said, Charlie, what the F? I had a bad potty mouth in 2018. Going through these tweets, I realized that I don't swear nearly as much or at all anymore. And then Charlie said, yup, we felt it too. Remember, I told you the dreams got darker. Again, I'm painting a picture here of what was going on. We're going to get deeper here on what transpired. On the eve before Kanye West tweeted us, again, we are still in April. This is April 20th. The evening before Kanye West tweets me, Charlie messages me and he says, I'm on a run and I'm blasting Kanye West and we're on the brink of something big and like, this is our time. I'm going to show you that tweet. Night before, I'm listening to Kanye and just running my streets. Are you ready for the war that's coming? We're going to fight. We're going to win. They will lose. I said, so exciting. It's our time. He said, yes. And then the next morning, as you can see, I woke up to news of the tweets and I said, please pick up because I was shaking. And then Charlie wrote back and said, I am freaking the F out. When I said to you guys, you had to be there, we were certain we had manifested. It was kind of freaky. That's the right word. We were freaking out going, how is this real? How did we know what is happening right now in the world? And yeah, Kanye sent this now infamous tweet. I love the way Candace Owens thinks. I want you to know this. Everything for Charlie and I changed in a blink of an eye in that moment. And retrospectively, it would never be the same again. It was indeed a paradigm shift. I mentioned to you guys yesterday that I remember that we both watched Scott Adams. I did not know who he was at this time. Again, I was very green and I'm not an overtly political person. So I didn't know who Scott Adams was, but I remember vividly watching him draw on a board and explain to his very many followers that something much bigger had taken place and that people needed to pay attention to this tweet for almost cosmic reasons. Let's take a listen to what Scott Adams said on that day.
What did he tweet? He tweeted, I like the way Candace Owens thinks. Seven words. And he ripped a hole in reality with seven words. Because Kanye is supposed to be over here. And Candace is supposed to be over here. And they're not ever supposed to say the other one said something, right? All right? That's not supposed to happen. But Kanye did it anyway. Kanye knows history doesn't repeat. He's not a prisoner of the mind. He knows that the problem is not the solution. Whatever you want to say about Kanye's politics, and I don't even know what his preferred politics would be. I'm not even sure what party he would run for it if he ran for president at this point. Whatever else you want to say about him, and I don't know enough about his actual, management skills or political ability. But he did something that you could rarely see. He actually just altered reality. He just made the entire conservative Twitter sphere just go something like this. It's like your head just went, what did I just see? Did I really see this? Now forget about, you know, which of these views you like the best. That's not even the story. Forget about whether you think Candace has everything right or everything wrong. That's not the story. The story is that these two people that shouldn't be in the same conversation in seven words, Kanye just changed it. That. And he just freed a lot of people from a mental prison. Kanye, in seven words, unlocked a mental prison. And is bringing you to the golden age.
I look back on that and I find that clip to be really fascinating. And here's what I would tell you that happened thereafter in short order, because it was definitely something. I believe, and I am saying this retrospectively, that from that moment onward, Charlie and I were assigned handlers. Okay, this is an expression that Kanye used to say, have a handler. I thought that he was just saying that. I thought that he was referring to just Hollywood. I now very much believe that I have had handlers since 2018, and that things were done intentionally to pull me and Charlie apart. Now, I'm going to tell you how I remember it in no particular order, okay? I tweeted back at Kanye and I said, please take a meeting with us. And before I could hear directly from Kanye's people, I heard from David Horowitz of the of Freedom Center. He's the one that first invited me when I was going viral on YouTube to speak at his conference. You should also know that he is the father to Andreessen Horowitz, the one that Bibi Netanyahu is insisting should, or the stepfather to. He wants Andreessen Horowitz to be a part of this group that buys TikTok because, and this is relevant, they think it's important for warfare, psychological warfare in the future. It's relevant. He was very nice in his message to me, said, oh, my son knows Kanye, and I would like to facilitate that meeting. Suddenly they get Eric Weinstein involved and he reaches out and he pretends that he wants to be a friend to me. He's a bad person. I can tell you that right away. And I learned that very quickly. But at the time, Charlie and I, we were pro-Israel. That's, I think, kind of relevant. And we were just so amazed by the tweet that we thought all of these people, like this was just our moment, as in they really did just want to help. Another player in this was Rick Rubin. Yeah, the big music industry, Rick Rubin, also got into the mix and wanted to facilitate certain meetings. I took it, again, as a sign of help. On the Turning Point USA side, Tyler Boyer, who I could do a whole episode on, it's actually, he's more so relevant that I can't fit him into just one episode. He was with the only person that was with Charlie before. He introduced him to every person that Charlie knows. He starts hiring a bunch of people, telling Charlie that we need to hire bigger and more professional money raisers, PR people like Andrew Colvett, you name it. And it feels like at every moment there were forces that were trying to tell us this is not allowed to happen. Kanye's handlers are telling him, Kanye's got a team of people telling him he's not allowed to be involved in politics. And he's getting angrier and he's getting angrier about that. This is in the time of Kim Kardashian and Kanye. She wanted nothing to do with it, okay? And I've been to their house and political friends are telling Charlie and I, don't get involved with Kanye because he's crazy. You guys are on a trajectory. Don't speak to Kanye. It's going to backfire in your face. And I'm like, no, we dreamed this. We want him to be a part of Blexit. Like, this is exactly what we wanted. At the exact same time, I felt, and you have heard the story very many times, Charlie has told it, I have told it, out of nowhere, I got this spiritual pull that I needed to go to the UK. Charlie and I had no business in the UK at all. There was no reason for us to go to the UK. There was nothing happening in the UK. I have the messages. I'm like, Charlie, we should go to the UK. I don't know why. I'm getting the vibe. We need to go to the UK. We need to go to the UK. We need to go to the UK. Like, we got to go to London. And we did in the future. But first, dealing with this sort of pressure cooker that kept happening between Kanye, me, Charlie, it was in October after Kanye had helped me to start designing the logo for Blexit, that Kanye's pressure cooker got too hot. And basically, they told him that he would lose everything, his marriage, this, that, if he didn't abstain from politics after he notoriously went to the White House in the MAGA hat. And he needed to distance from us and, of course, Blexit. And he cracked. I mean, you guys remember this headline. I'm taking you back to 2018. Kanye West distances himself from Blexit and Trump. He says, I've been used to spread messages. Kanye never wrote this statement. One of his handlers did, but he said, my eyes are now wide open and I now realize that I've been used to spread messages that I don't believe in. I am distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative. Now, that was not the most honest interpretation of things. And I reflect on it. And I'm so grateful that I called Mike Cernovich and I said, like, why is Kanye doing this? Why is he saying this? I have pictures of him standing over the guy, directing him on what he thought was cool with the logo. Like, should I drop them? And Cernovich gave me really sound advice and said, don't. You have no idea what he's going through. And I'm grateful to Cernovich for that, because I now know what Kanye was going through and what that pressure is like. And when they come for your family and come for everything. And it's like, all you have to do is disavow this or disavow that, and everything will go back to normal. So yeah, Kanye, I totally understand it. It makes perfect sense to me why you had to say that. Anyways, I think I was saved. And I look back and I think I was saved by this weird pull that I had to go to the UK. It was, now I realize, an unexpected anomaly. My husband, how I met him, this unplanned trip on nobody's calendar. Nobody was setting it up. I just like, Charlie, get a meeting with whoever, make anything happen. I need to be in the UK. I just think that like something good will happen if we go to the UK. And it's kind of beautiful that the person that Charlie reached out to and said, can you put together just any place for Candace and I to speak at, was John and Arena Mappin, the lone donors to wrote that beautiful letter that has impacted the world. Like, true friends of Charlie, who stood up and said that what Turning Point USA is doing is wrong. So yeah, we had an event, and obviously I first laid eyes on my husband, and I have told you guys the truth. I looked at him and everyone's like, why'd you get engaged after 18 days? I have never, it's inexplicable. I looked at him and I felt like I had already known him, and it felt exactly like seeing a sigh of relief. Like, it felt like a sigh of relief. I was like, this is, I need to go with him. 2 months later, and with that event in London far behind us, so that was in December that I met my husband, that I convinced Charlie, took his credit card and booked the flights. John and Arena made the event happen. 2 months later in February, something really strange happened. Someone, and I believe it was someone at BuzzFeed, cut a clip of a video from the Q&A portion of that UK event. This is, again, over 2 months later. And they stripped the question that was asked of me. You'll remember the scandal. What I'm about to tell you about this is crazy. Again, I was green, so I didn't understand why suddenly they were sharing a clip and they were saying that I was justifying Hitler, Adolf Hitler, killing Jews. A person asked me, Candace, you describe yourself as a nationalist. That is sometimes a dirty term because people don't like the words nationalism. And I answered by saying, well, that's because they wrongly attributed to Adolf Hitler and he wasn't a nationalist. I didn't even mention Jews at all. I'm going to actually show you what I said. And I was standing next to Charlie when I said it, which is relevant. Take a listen.
Yeah, I agree. I actually don't have any problems at all with the word nationalism. I think that it gets the definition gets poisoned by elitists that actually want globalism. Globalism is what I don't want. So when you think about, whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, in at least in America, is Hitler. You know, he was a national socialist. But if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is that he had dreams outside of Germany. He wanted to globalize. He wanted everybody to be German, everybody to be speaking German, everybody to look a different way. That's not, to me, that's not nationalism. So in thinking about how it could go bad down the line, I don't really have an issue with nationalism. I really don't. I think that it's okay. It's important to retain your country's identity and to make sure that what's happening here, which I think is incredibly worrisome in terms of the decrease in the birth rate that we're seeing in the UK, is what you kind of want to avoid. So I have no problems with nationalism. It's globalism that I try to avoid.
Now I know that these online campaigns are inorganic, and that what actually happened was, this was a hit. This was a hit. They pulled the clip, and then a bunch of people were articles saying that I supported Adolf Hitler, and that I said if Hitler had just wanted to make Germany great again, then okay, fine. That's fine. No context again. And it was like a severe cancel culture attack, saying that I supported Jews being killed in the Holocaust. It was insane. Again, Charlie and I were very new, and this was very scary. We were kind of coming upon a high point and going, why do people want to destroy us? We don't know what this is. And at the same time, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and this is, again, another interesting piece of this, put me, like, issued a statement against my comments. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, we're like the official Holocaust people, and this girl is obviously supporting Hitler. It was heavy. It was it was so heavy, and I laugh in retrospect because I thought it was all real. I didn't realize this was a matrix of people who wanted to pull me and Charlie apart. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to put pressure on him. So donors would pressure him and be like, hey, she's supporting Hitler. It's such a bad look. And then they would find me broken and scared and upset and going, I don't know how Jewish people could think that I would support Hitler. And that's what I was saying. And this amazing thing happened that despite this, that the hand that came out to me and offered me a job was PragerU. PragerU offered me a job. This is early 2019. And it was like, hey, like, we know that you don't believe these things. And at the time, I thought they were just being friends. I don't know what to think anymore. Marissa Strait, the CEO, has never shied from telling people that she is, you know, in the IDF. She worked intelligence in the IDF, right, in Israel. And I took the job with them, and Charlie and I still climbed together, but we were also working apart at the same time. We kept doing the campuses and the campus tours, but I was officially working for PragerU. And one of the first things that happened, almost the way it feels to me, was like, we can save you, but here's what you have to do, was Marissa took me to the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And again, I was so grateful. I was like, who do I have to say sorry to so that they know that I don't hate Jews? This is what happened. I'm telling you, this is what happened in 2019. And there was like some chief rabbi looking character, and him and her spoke in Hebrew. I didn't understand a word of what was said in front of me. And then we left and everything was fine. My reputation was restored temporarily. Throughout that time frame thereafter, I'm doing my show. I think my first episode with PragerU was in March. Charlie's still climbing. Turning Point USA, as you know, became a behemoth. I remember speaking at their conferences and saying that they were now running like a military operation. It was so efficient on time. It was tactical. And I did not realize at that time how prescient that thought would become. Because as you guys know, in my old age, I have grown increasingly interested in genealogy, because you really start to recognize certain patterns when you look into who people's fathers are, who their grandfathers were, who their great-grandfathers were. And the one thing that has shocked me about Charlie and Turning Point USA is just how many military characters were surrounding him. Even in September 10th, people that were in the hospital, right? Let's just, you know, take a look at the chart that we have put together. And this is in an early phase, but it's interesting at the very least, okay? We've got Frank Turek. And Frank Turek, if we want to go through this, we've got Andrew Colbert, Rob McCoy, Mikey McCoy, Tyler Boyer. Let's start with Frank Turek, if we have that card. And Frank Turek, again, has been honest, former officer in the U.S. Navy. And then he turned to Christian apologetics. He has two sons that are in the military, fly planes, as well as one of his son's spouses that's in the military. Again, he's never lied about this. Andrew Colvett, by the way, if you don't know, I didn't know. I don't think Charlie knew, definitely not when Tyler brought him or when he got hired. His brother, Captain Kurt Colvett, is in the military. His cousin, Captain Robert Colvett, is high up in the military. So that's interesting. Very interesting to me, at least, because I just am like, oh, that's kind of something I was not aware of. I thought he was just a PR guy, someone that was working PR and was found and things, you know, went forward. Obviously, Rob McCoy, another pastor, but a pastor with a very strong military background. Pastor Rob McCoy, his father was a naval captain, Roy Edgar McCoy. But also, and this is kind of shocking, his father was also the assistant chief of staff for psychological warfare in the Navy. Psychological warfare. This is the name of the game. And that trajectory is increasingly interesting to me. I think we have this clip from an investigative journalist named George Webb, who speaks a little bit further about Rob. And obviously, this is Mikey McCoy's family. Take a listen.
McCoy does have this strange military background. He does have this strange, seemingly putting his son in there and guiding the hand for this new apostolic revival. That he is a NAR person. He is the kind of the NAR push for Charlie. Charlie was meeting with NAR. NAR were the $25 million and above donors in the from the Christian right. The Ziklag was the name of the organization. So all that's correct. That's correct information. And
what happened in my life after that was I went from PragerU, and you got a pastor, you know, from the military, two pastors from the military there. I'm telling you, Marissa, straight military. I then went to, obviously, the Daily Wire, and the president at the time of the Daily Wire was also a naval intelligence officer who decided to become a pastor. That was John Lewis. And I'm like, actually, in retrospect, what are the chances that we just have so many military people that are in media? How organic is this? Who's the biggest person on YouTube? Right? I just got interested. I started asking questions like, are we in a military simulation? Mr. Beast, both of his parents high up in the military. Do you think he really was just getting trillions and gazillions of views because people wanted to see somebody count to a million? Or is that interesting? But also, it might be relevant that his family's military, like high up in the military. Everywhere I looked, every time I was like, well, this person, you know, I got interested even in Lila Rose, right? Catholic, does this whole, speaks about, and she's always been very lovely to me, speaks about the pro-life movement and converted to Catholicism and got a story there. I met her through Marissa, kind of the same people funding both. And it was kind of interesting. Like when I would see Lila kind of jump on the attacking the Christ is King or trying to rationalize why we shouldn't say Christ is King all the time. And she was like the lone Catholic that was doing that. And I then got super interested in her when she messaged me about Andrew Tate. And she had someone on her show that was Andrew Tate's, one of the accuser's lawyers. And I was like, this has nothing to do with the pro-life movement. What are you doing? I asked her. And she's like, well, and that woman then attacked me and Tucker Carlson. I said, that's weird. Like, that's kind of random. You're supposed to be the pro-life person. And you're talking about, and you're talking to Andrew Colvett's, the party to that lawsuit. You're talking to her lawyer. Why on your show? Why are you the first show she would pick? Why doesn't she go on like CNN or Fox News? And I looked, and of course, yeah, you got military all over that background. And I'm going, is anything not military? I'm looking at Barry Weiss and I'm looking into her grandfather. And there's a story that's just incredible. A bomb thrown on at his house. And I think it's in Philly or somewhere. And maybe it's Pittsburgh. And that's related to the casinos. I mean, the whole thing starts getting really crazy when you realize everyone's somehow attached to Raytheon, right? Mr. Beast, they're all attached to Raytheon in one way or the other. And I find that to be interesting. And there's more, by the way. I'm in the early days of research here, and there's a lot more I'm going to present to you guys. But I think we can all acknowledge that we were lied to about the 30-06, right? I know for a fact Charlie's neck was not destroyed. Certainly was not destroyed. And if I'm lying, sue me for defamation, and you'll learn exactly how I know that. This is what makes Andrew Colvett's tweet explaining the conversation with the surgeon especially interesting. You remember, he's like, oh, and the surgeon said, well, that would have taken down a moose. And, yeah, but Charlie's neck, he's the man of steel. And people rightly said that's not the job of the surgeon. That's kind of the job of forensics to say that. The medical examiner would be the right person to say that. By the way, who was the medical examiner? Who were the doctors? And any chance they were military? Any chance they were military? I'm just wondering. And here's what I've discovered preliminarily. The answer is yes, okay? The doctor who worked on Charlie was Dr. Lee Trotter. And regarding Dr. Lee Trotter, he did his residency on the Air Force Base, right? He completed a residency at the Keesler Air Force Medical Center in Mississippi. I think he actually might be in the Air Force from what I'm looking at. Can't confirm that entirely, but there's a person who matches his name, age, description, living where he's living, who is actually in the Air Force. And he also, for a fact, is a pilot. So it would track that he was in the military. That's interesting. the medical examiner, Dr. Deidre Smith Amaro, who that would be the appropriate person to have had the conversation with, also someone that in my dream, Charlie told me I should look into. She's a major in the Army. She's also from a major corporation. She's from the Erickson family. The Erickson Boyd Corporation is her family. She tells people that she is a direct descendant of Leif Erickson. This brings us into like Swedish Freemason stuff, okay? And I'm sure, like I'm certain she's an Erickson, like 1,000% certain that she is an Erickson. She's also now a lesbian. And I'm thinking, why was she just made a major in the Army? Why did they need this woman in? Why were people researching these doctors and this specific medical examiner? What the heck is going on? There's more. There's a lot more that I haven't covered, but I'm painting a picture here for you, okay? I think the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower forewarned of, the military-industrial complex that shot JFK to maintain power, has created a veneer of reality for us, and it is not so, right? We are under a veil. I think that these corporations, people that are put at the head of these corporations and we're told that they're geniuses, or if they're just so successful, like Mr. Beast. These are military operations is what I'm signaling to you guys. So be aware of that. I think this military industrial complex has had a lot of actors. We have military grade actors, some of which I think were there when Charlie got shot. Weird, weird behavior from people. The first people to get booked. It was hard to find a student that spoke to a mainstream media news organization on that day. Something's not right. There are too many military players that were surrounding Charlie, and they weren't there before 2018. They weren't there until forces were trying to pull me and Charlie apart. And I had it on my heart to share this with you because I think it will help you when you start to look at things and assess people and they tell you, he's a genius. Then you learn that they have, I don't know, a contract with the Department of Defense. He might just be a military-grade actor meant to lead a company, because if we all looked up and realized the military owns everything and maybe has owned everything and controlled everything since they shot JFK, well, that wouldn't be a good thing for us to know, right? And we don't know it. We don't know it, but I kind of know. Lastly, there is something interesting that I was kind of hesitant to speak about, but I'm going to. I was hesitant to speak about it because I didn't want it to like lead to 1,000 conspiracy theories that are just wrong, but I'm interested. And I, again, want to caution you, don't spin out of control. I'm actually want some information because there could be something that I'm missing. I am not from the medical field, okay? But on September 10th, thereafter, as I've been doing these episodes, we had received a flurry of tips from people telling us that Charlie was not at Timpanogos Hospital, but was at UVU Hospital. And I was like, remember there was this whole thing, like, why did they go to Timpanogos? Timpanogos was like a level 3 trauma center when the closer one was UVU. We never really understood why the ambulance wasn't there when it was required by law. He goes into this car. We don't really know. When I say we don't know, as in we have no footage or any indication of the drive or the arrival at Timpanogos. And I thought it was weird that we had people that were saying, I was downstairs at UVU and Charlie was brought in. And I am telling you, he was definitely at this hospital. Somebody else said to me, I was receiving treatment. I don't know if it was cancer treatment downstairs or upstairs. And we knew he was at this hospital. And then somebody came in and announced that Charlie had just died upstairs. It was very strange. And I was like, okay, that's just, people get confused. They may have heard from maybe a nurse, texted a nurse. There's a lot of ways that could have happened. But then we received an email from somebody in the medical staff at UVU saying, I'm certain that he was here. And I have a medical file and the text that we received at 2:08 p.m. saying that we're not allowed to touch the medical file. And here is the entry in the UVU system for Charlie Kirk. It had his right birthday. It had his age. It had an MRN number. And then this individual shared the internal message that went out telling them that they're not allowed to touch the file. Here it is. Hi, all. There was a media event that took place today that led to a trauma patient. Due to the nature of the situation, the only individuals who will be allowed in the chart will be Deborah and myself. No one else is allowed to hover or open the chart. Jacob blank, Deb and I will be doing the log tomorrow. Thanks, and let me know if you have any questions. Now, in my mind, I said maybe the reason for this is these two medical hospitals speak to each other, you know, like if you go to CVS and you pick up a prescription at one location, the other location knows that it happens. I've confirmed that doesn't seem to be the circumstance. It's possible that it could be because maybe Dr. Lee Trotter, which I have heard, works at both, limited surgeons going back and forth, that's somehow it created a file. But I'd like to know definitively what the answer for that is, why he also has a file at UVU, why there seemed to be so much confusion. Again, we don't need to go crazy with conspiracy theories. There could be a logical answer. I have not stumbled upon it yet. And so, medical community, feel free to email us at moretips@candiceowens.com. Okay, we're going to take a brief break before we get into Turning Point USA's response to Mikey McCoy's actions. All right, you guys, jumping in to tell you about one of my favorite organizations, Preborn, because I've watched too many people who I'm close to be vilified for standing up for truth. I've myself felt the sting of injustice, but I've also felt something else, which is courage. And I think that we have to stop playing defense. We should not water down what we believe according to what is deemed palatable. Silence is not actually kindness. It's actually consent. And right now, the greatest silence is around the lives that are being ended before they take their first breath. If we're going to call ourselves defenders of life, we should act like it. That's why I'm asking you to join me to fight back with action, with truth, and with love for just $28. That's what it costs to give a free ultrasound to a woman that is in crisis and considering an abortion. Just $28, you can help that woman to see the light that's growing inside of her. You'll give her the truth that we know our culture will not. So don't sit this one out. Don't wait for permission. Be bold, be clear, be unapologetically pro-life. Go to preborn.org/Candace right now. Give $28. You can actually give 10 times that if you're able to. This is the line that I think we need to stand on. We should stand for truth, what is right, and save lives from abortion and stand firm in the gospel. Again, that is preborn.org/Candace to provide an ultrasound for just $28. Also telling you guys about my friends over at Riverbend Ranch. You know, I love them. I've been talking a lot about them because I love their steaks, Black Angus beef. It's famous for its great flavor, but Riverbend Ranch has taken Black Angus beef to a whole new level. Over the last 35 years, Riverbend Ranch has been creating an elite Angus herd by using ultrasound technology to genetically select superior cattle with a focus on flavor and tenderness. Each year, Riverbend Ranch provides about 850 elite Black Angus bulls containing these special genetics to over 260 Western U.S. ranches. Those partnership ranches receive a substantial premium from Riverbend Ranch for raising those calves without the use of growth hormones or antibiotics. And every fall, the calves containing these elite genetics return to Riverbend Ranch to spend the following summer in the lush mountain pastures. When you purchase from Riverbend Ranch, you are not only supporting the 64 cowboys and their families who work on the ranch, but you are also supporting over 260 other U.S. ranches and the hundreds of American families who work on those ranches. Born in the USA, it's raised in the USA, it's processed right here in the USA. The meat is aged to perfection for 21 days. It's shipped directly from their ranch to your home. So it's not your average Black Angus beef. This is more flavorful and more tender than even the best Angus beef that I've ever tasted. Right now, when you head over to riverbendranch.com and use promo code Candace at checkout, you'll get $20 off your first order. Trust me, you're going to be very impressed. So visit riverbendranch.com and use promo code Candace at checkout. Also want to tell you guys about PDS debt, because debt from credit cards is not an accident. It's a system that is built to keep Americans down. The banks profit, the creditors win, and families lose. Every call, every fee, every high interest trap is another reminder that the game is rigged. But there is another side to this story. PDS debt has already helped hundreds of thousands of people fight back, cutting debt, ending the calls, and putting money back where it belongs, which is in your pockets. So whether you're struggling with credit cards, personal loans, or medical bills, PDS debt has custom options to help you get out of debt. They go beyond the numbers to understand your unique financial situation and to craft a personalized plan that's designed just for you. There's no minimum credit score required. They're here to help you save more, to pay off your debt faster, and to start putting money back into your pocket. PDS debt is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. It boasts thousands of five-star reviews on Google, and it holds a five-star rating on Trustpilot. Why? Because PDS has helped hundreds of thousands of people get out of debt. It's your money, it's your future, so do not let the system decide for you. You are just 30 seconds away from being debt-free. Get your free assessment and find the best option for you right now at pdsdebt.com/Candace. Again, that's pdsdebt.com/Candace. pdsdebt.com/Candace. Okay, I just want to correct. Thank you guys in the chat for correcting me. I think I said UVU Medical. I meant to say Utah Valley Hospital. UVU is obviously on my mind because it is the university. It is Utah Valley Hospital is where that file was. And that person and some people that I confirmed with said that their two systems don't speak together. So, but there could be another logical explanation. Maybe someone called ahead and then they made a decision because of traffic to go somewhere else. But I would like to get to the bottom of that. Okay, let's jump in here to TPUSA's response to the Mikey McCoy. Actually, it wasn't really a response because, to be fair, they did their episode before my episode went out. Charlie Kirk's show is before my show is. But it was their response to the Mikey McCoy video going viral. So not a response to me, but rather a response to the people who had pulled this out, who had discovered this over the weekend. So like James Lee, Ian Carroll, Sam Parker. And here is what Andrew Colvett had to say. He's going to tell us that Mikey was told to do this in the event of this type of an emergency by, you guessed it, Charlie Kirk. Take a listen.
Here's the last thing I want to make a point of. And Charlie, because Charlie had given me similar instructions along the years. Said, if anything ever happens to me, you call Erica.
Yeah, that is your, that's
and
the other
he
thing.
Drilled that into Mikey's brain so that when this moment of trauma happened, that he turned around and he knew he had to do it. And by the way, I just last thing, because this is part of the video allegations here, is that they think they're alleging that he was on the phone immediately. He was not. He was taking social videos, which he would send to our group chat, which we would then put on Charlie's social while the event was happening, so you could see like the crowd come in or his interactions. And we were only two questions into this event. So he was still getting it out to all the chats he needed to do, which he did at every event. He turns around, and it was so blaringly loud, I'm told. You would know this better than I, but this is what I'm told. It was so blaringly loud, and he was so shell-shocked. He put his fingers in his ear, but his phone was still in his hand. He walks away, and he's
Not even walk. Yeah, I want to – because people are talking about that. The way it was is we had a cordoned off area with grates, so you could had controlled access. All the people, when this happens, they all get the idea we should leave before we are shot. And so there's a little narrow gap that I think people, it's not really walking. It's that everyone has to slow up to get through this little narrow choke point to get out of the area.
Okay. Elsewhere, they say that, so basically he wasn't on the phone. He was holding his ears. Okay. And then once he got out into the distance beyond Charlie, beyond the car that Charlie would be carried into is when he called Erica first and then his father. That's what they tell us. Now, in regards to him saying that Mikey was taking social videos, I can tell you, it tracks that Mikey would be taking videos behind, like, you know, when Charlie first comes out of the event, he's throwing hats. That tracks. That absolutely is a thing at Turning Point USA. You follow the person to get behind the scenes. I would have Savannah do this before Mikey McCoy did this. It was Sarah Schmachtenberger. And they do that. They like the behind the scenes reactions. But in this particular video, he's not standing where you can get a view of Charlie asking a question. So this part is not tracking. Okay, Mikey is not standing to the side of Charlie. He is behind. And so if you're saying what earlier we're supposed to see him, the best place to stand if you're going to get a video of Charlie asking a question is going to be in a place where you can see both Charlie and the person asking the question. And that's just not where he's standing. So that excuse doesn't make sense to me. Now, maybe he's saying he was in Mikey was there when he was throwing hats out and he was there trying to send videos thereafter once things got started. That's all possible. I don't know. Regarding him putting his hands up to his ear, it does sound completely plausible to me that if you first hear a gunshot, you're going to naturally do this, right? That kind of makes sense. You're going to go, what was that maybe? And then I think typically you'd get down. And the issue that I have is I never see him take that phone down. Maybe he does, right? Maybe he does. We don't know for a fact. And so we should be clear that it doesn't look to me like he's just covering his ears there, but maybe he is. What I will say is that it would be unlikely that you would keep holding your ears until you get all the way out and that you wouldn't duck down. And regarding Charlie always told us to call Erica if anything happens. Yeah, that's kind of common sense. That's not exactly like, hey, if I get shot in the throat, don't help me and call Erica. I think obviously that's called like first of kin, right? First of kin. If something happens to me, call George. Something happens to George, call Candace. That is almost in the sphere of common sense. So I believe that. I don't believe that Charlie said, if I get shot, don't help me, calmly walk away and call Erica first. Like, I think, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, we have nothing to go off of. I think it's curious that we're hearing this from Andrew and we're not hearing it from Mikey McCoy. It's very easy to dispel any internet innuendo. You don't actually have to jump into ad hominem attacks. The first thing I would have done, just like I did when I was being accused of colluding on the Blake Lively story, when I got drafted into that lawsuit and they thought that I was working with Blake Lively's, working with Justin Baldoni's team, is I quite literally live subpoenaed myself. I held up my phone, I typed in Blake Lively, and I showed you the only two times that I had ever texted about her in my phone at all to demonstrate that there was no collusion happening and no one compelled me to speak. It was a ridiculous thing for her to say. I laughed at it. I wasn't upset about it, right? And I said, this is crazy. Here is my phone. I'm live opening it for you. Why not do that? Doesn't that seem easier to, like, the easier thing if you feel that pressure is to just say, I'm going to dispel this? It's kind of like the Brigitte Macron thing. Hey, here's a couple of pictures of me raising my kids. 30 years was missing because I really was just camera shy. I'm just going to show you the pictures. It's so much easier rather than fighting a tit for tat war to just share the truth. People are uncomfortable. It's going to get even more interesting though, because Alex Marlow, who runs Breitbart News, was their guest for the day on the show. And he then kind of shifts gears and pretends like we're all drug addicts. Right? We're just high on conspiracy theory. Take a listen.
There's a suggestion online that Mikey, Charlie's chief of staff, one of the most sincere people you'd ever meet, brilliant, Christian, kind, everyone who's he ever met in his entire life, couldn't hurt a fly, was part of a conspiracy to murder Charlie. That's what's going on. Yeah.
It's vile. It's utterly vile.
Who would do this? Like, what type of individual? Just to create content, do we think? Or is there some, what's the ulterior?
I don't know. I think a lot of this mindset just sort of fuels itself. It's sort of addictive in the same way a lot of social media stuff is addictive, or in the way, like, honestly, something like pornography is addictive or something. Like, they get really, they get a high off of, like, the idea of, like, that they're doing something that's daring or out there.
So that right there is a psychological operation. And because we're reading about Sigmund Freud, they diagnose you. When they don't want you to look into something, they diagnose you. So right there, he's going, oh my, are they just doing this to create content? Are these people akin to drug addicts? They're just high on the conspiracy theory. They're gaslighting you, and then they're diagnosing you. So we all just watched Charlie die. We are having a perfectly rational response to watching that and then watching the strange reaction of his peers, or the non-reaction of his peers who just want our money, right? And are asking for Susie Wiles. That's the craziest part of his whole thing for me. It was like, why is Susie Wiles? I don't know. It just feels really weird, like a weird pick for her to eulogize him. But yeah, and not maybe his parents, maybe they didn't want to. Actually, they were quite private people. But all this happens and we're having a natural reaction, which is we feel alarmed. We feel suspicious. And they're going, oh, you're a drug addict. You know what? I get it. You kind of like porn. You're into that. You're into the porn thing. It's, oh, I get it. No, I get it. If you want to watch porn all day, you want to watch porn all day. That, my friends, is a psychological operation. Steel yourselves against this. Yes, we are asking questions. No, we are not akin to people that watch pornography all day. And no, we're not getting high on it. We're going to get high when we find out what actually happened. That's going to feel like a high to us, right? That's going to be that natural rush that we feel when we've actually solved what happened to Charlie Kirk. So let me answer you back on that, Alex Marlow. Be careful, because I might do your genealogy. You don't want me doing that. Careful. Then we have Frank Turek, who engages in this same sort of act of psychological manipulation, in my viewpoint. And he defends Mikey McCoy. I think this is on his own show. Here's what he had to say.
There's a difference between a possibility and evidence for a possibility. You can speculate on anything you want, but unless you have evidence, shut up, okay? Because all you're doing is causing dissension among the brothers, which is something the Lord hates. If you want to present a possibility and say, well, this could be true, okay, it could be true, but don't accuse people for doing something for which you have no evidence. I heard today, I guess I hadn't seen it myself, but I heard today she was judging people who didn't act the right way. I don't know if anyone did. Has anyone seen this video? She did. According to Candace Owens, these people did not act the right way after Charlie's death. Like my friend Mikey McCoy, the brilliant 24-year-old who at the time when Charlie was shot was 23 and was a hero that day. He apparently didn't act the right way, according to Candace Owens. He didn't act normal. Newsflash, there is no normal when you're in shock. There is no normal when an abnormal thing happens. Some people are going to act one way, other people are going to act another way. You don't know how you would react. I didn't know how I would react. The only reason that I did what I did is because I thought about it beforehand. I was afraid somebody would take a shot at Charlie. And I thought to myself, if it does happen, what am I going to do? Decide now. And what I wanted to do would do anything I could to save him.
Couple of psychological manipulations happening there. First is like the academic one, where he's trying to present himself as an authority on the topic and saying to you, like, there is no, you know, no, everybody can do anything when shots are fired. We don't know when you're shocked by shots being fired. Some people just, you know, start doing the hokey pokey. You know, not do we can't. I mean, look, some people literally, when they hear shots fired, they get on a table and they start dancing and singing and saying, shoot me, shoot me. You know, like George Zinn, that's no, hey, we don't know. He was in shock. George Zinn, I did it. That's a normal, hey, we don't know, right? Like, we do actually know that we all have a baseline response to danger. You run towards it because you want to rescue people. These are the heroes in the story, or you run away from it, right? That's a baseline. Or you freeze. You literally just are paralyzed by fear, kind of. Maybe I'd say three baseline things that you can expect, right? I don't know what to do. I'm running away from this, or I know exactly what to do and I need to rescue other people. So don't do that. The other thing he's doing, of course, is the biblical manipulation, which seems to me to be that there has been a military infiltration into the churches. I think we've covered that enough this year. I've termed that Operation Mocking Pastor, where they just try to find some scripture and justify it. And he's a pastor. He's earned trust. So he's saying she's judging people. The Lord says this. The Lord says she shouldn't look into the trust. The Lord says she shouldn't ask questions. The Lord thinks that people should just shut up, right? That to me is like the sickest form of manipulation. The sickest form of manipulation is to try to present it via the lens of what God would want. You don't have to do that. Just say what you think, say what you mean, and try to manipulate people the old school way, okay? Now, speaking of psychological operations, the one safe place is my book club, okay? I'm like, we're real, like, you know, we're ratchet in the book club. I say whatever, because I know people that are in there, they're ready for it. I'm throwing to them. We're talking about Frankism. We're talking about the Kabbalah. We're talking about the infiltration into the churches, intentional as an aspect of the Frankist movement. And we go pretty quickly. We're reading these books. We're learning about Sigmund Freud, right? It starts with Sigmund Freud. It ends with Operation Mocking Pastor, or that's where we are at right now. And I have so much fun. And what happened was Zionists actually purchased the book club, passed the book club, and they then started sharing clips and watermarked it as if it was their own content to make money off of. This guy, Milk Bar TV, I was like, you're getting hit with a copyright strike, my friend, okay? Proud of myself. Hit him with a copyright strike because he literally put Milk Bar TV content on the corner. He watermarked my content to then smear me, right? If you're going to watermark my content, at least don't smear me and call me a crazy person. And what they were upset with was that I said that it was ridiculous. And I meant it, by the way. So shocking. I say what I mean, that we're supposed to think that Charlie is being honored because he got a Charlie Kirk Day in October. I will feel Charlie is honored, okay, when we figure out who killed him, because I'm not buying a lone shooter thing. So I said, miss me with the whole holiday theater. Tell me who actually killed him. And it's a typical federal maneuver, by the way, to kill someone like Martin Luther King or JFK, and then they get a holiday. They get a boulevard. That's what I said. And I would have said it off the book club, but they clipped it, tried to take it out of context. But it's not 2018, and I am not new to what you guys do. These out-of-context clips are just not hitting the same. The people are awake. They know what's happening here. They see what you're doing. And then he cried, by the way, when he got hit with a copyright strike. I couldn't believe it. Talk about literally crying while you strike someone else. Like, you stole my content. You got caught stealing my content and trying to make money off of it. And then he tweets, Candace Owens hit my account. This is Nathan Livingstone. I tried to steal and she didn't let me. Why is she trying to silence me? Why won't she let me steal? You can pay for a pass. You can watch it, but you can't steal my content. Anyways, guys, it's amazing. Right? I think it's actually amazing that our book club got infiltrated. We're going to have to be more careful in there. Just kidding. I won't be. I will be just as ratchet as I always am in the book club. Lastly, we got to get to Brigitte Macron, because I think everybody now is really tired of her lying about having been born with a penis. Not my fault, okay? If you have not, by the way, watched the Becoming Brigitte series and you are appreciating what I'm doing with the Charlie Kirk series, go back and watch it. Same thing. All I did was tell the truth and people were upset, and then the series went viral. I mean, by people, I mean the media was upset. The series went viral. There's no way you can watch the series and come out of it thinking that Brigitte was born a female. You can't just disappear 30 years of your life. You can't just say, I didn't take a picture for 30 years. It doesn't work like that, okay? Such an easy, lowest baby bar ever to set to dispel the rumors. Hey, can we get some pictures from your wedding day? Like, you know, you with your family, and not just pictures that have been given to us from a woman who quite literally is facing charges for falsifying pictures. Like, we've got like four photos of the whole life. And yeah, I'm being sued, because that's the next logical step. You sue people for telling the truth to scare them. And it's all related, by the way. We're talking about who Brigitte actually is, the families that Brigitte is related to, the fact that Emmanuel Macron is, in fact, just like the state of Israel, a Rothschild creation, talking about the military-industrial complex, and talking about the Kabbalah. Kabbalah very much is the reason for this push in culture for transgenderism. We'll get more into that in the book club, which gets a bit more theological. But that's a very important series, and basically what happened this week is people who hadn't even watched the series were like, okay, I've seen enough. Brigitte Macron crying because she doesn't know. Brigitte doesn't know why, but on the tax forms, the French tax forms, Brigitte is listed as Jean-Michel and listed as a male. So they're trying to lie and tell the public that they think this was done by a team of hackers, okay? Hackers who they haven't arrested. Okay, what hacker, this happened years ago, right? It was actually someone who worked for her who said, oh, this is weird. Like, I'm in your account right now, and you're registered as a dude named Jean-Michel. Mr. Brame was the guy who did this, a government official. He made the revelation, and he recounted how Brigitte was stunned to learn that her legal name had been, quote-unquote, changed when she logged into her personal tax account. We were completely surprised, said Mr. Brame. Oh, okay, so we're supposed to believe the government, which Brigitte is controlling, by the way, this person, Brame, has worked with the couple since 2017. And we're supposed to believe that a hacker was going to risk hacking the president of France. Okay, the government, had to be the government, decided to hack the government and to only change the name. Like, if you're going to risk that kind of an offense, that sort of a criminal offense, at least take the money. At least say, and they wiped out $2 million. It was a crazy hack, a little joke at the end of it. But no, just wanted to hack and risk criminal charges to change your name to Jean-Michel way back when this wasn't even a viral story. I mean, completely ridiculous, okay? You were born Jean-Michel Trogneau. You transitioned and you've been put in this position of power. And I don't know why they would do this. You got away with offending Emmanuel when he was 14 years old, sexual offense. And you went after, I mean, he was a child in my view, in everyone's view, a 14-year-old kid. You got like a 40-year-old adult that goes after him. And now you're pretending you're the victim. Okay. A little bit crazy. We're getting tired of it. You can't just keep pretending everything is just happening to you. Just present some pictures. Stop pretending that you're offering genetic evidence in the court hearing against me. You're not even suing me for the claim that I said you were born a male. You're suing me for the claim that I said you stole your sister's identity to transition. That's what you're suing me over, amongst very many other things that are ridiculous. And you've never offered genetic evidence because you didn't even get to that stage of the hearing. We have not gotten to any stage, actually. It's like the back forth, tit for tat, changing the filings, all very preliminary. You're just doing the most in terms of PR, trying to convince the world against something that we recognize, which is that you were born a male. So Emmanuel Macron, come clean. Everybody, and I mean everybody worldwide, is exhausted with your wife's penis. We're going to take a quick break and get some of your comments. All right, jumping in here to tell you guys about Comet AI, because how much time do we spend on the web? How much time do we spend clicking around online, searching, scrolling, typing? There's so many tabs. It's a lot, right? Well, there's now a new AI web browser from Perplexity that's called Comet, and it is completely changing the game. You can actually interact with your browser. Using Comet is like having a personal assistant that kind of lives in your web browser that can actually do things for you across the internet, literally do things, not just give you answers. You can ask Comet to do things like click, type, search, scroll. Let's see, if your friend just had a baby, they can search the internet for the best mom and baby gifts for you and then place the order. It saves you time without you having to miss the chance to show someone that you're thinking about them. Comet can shop for you, make reservations, book travel, summarize articles or videos, send emails, schedule meetings. There's a lot more just to make your life easier. So go and take back your time online. Download Perplexity's new web browser, Comet, and let it work for you, not the other way around. Check it out at pplx.ai/Candace. Again, that's pplx.ai/Candace. Also, I tell you guys about Tax Network USA, because you might be somebody who owes back taxes. You might not have filed your tax returns just yet. The October 15th deadline has officially passed. If you forgot to file for an extension, or if you haven't gathered all of your documents or made any estimated payments, you could soon be targeted by the IRS. We all know that. They can garnish your wages, they can freeze your bank accounts, or they can even seize your property. But there is help available with Tax Network USA, a nationwide tax firm that has helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt. They have filed hundreds of thousands of tax returns and assisted thousands in reducing their tax burdens, and they can help you too. So don't wait. Visit tnusa.com/Candace or call 1-800-958-1000 for a 100% free consultation. In one short call, the experts at Tax Network USA will guide you through some simple questions to determine how much you can save. Take action now before it's too late. Visit tnusa.com/Candace or call 1-800-958-1000. And I always tell you guys about Niemi Skincare. I'm not going to stop telling you about them. For years, we feel as though the beauty industry convinced us that we have to have all these complex formulas to achieve healthy skin, and that could not be further from the truth. The key to healthy skin is simple skincare routines. That's why I'm so interested in Niemi Skincare. Niemi is doing something radical. They've built one of their most popular lines around one of the most nutrient-rich bioavailable ingredients on earth, which is grass-fed beef tallow. Tallow is a traditional ancestral secret. Its composition is incredibly similar to our own skin's natural oils, which means your skin actually recognizes it. It's not a chemical coating. It's real nourishment. Niemi has two products from their tallow line that you should know about. First, your daily hydration. There's the Sunshine Tallow Cream. This is your go-to moisturizer. It's light, it absorbs quickly, and it doesn't leave you with that greasy feeling on your skin. They've combined that with soothing aloe vera and jojoba oil. It's perfect for your face and body to create a strong, resilient skin barrier against the daily grind. Then, for the problem areas, which is for that really dry or cracked skin, they have the Buzzin' Tallow Balm. It's an ultra-rich balm that uses tallow and beeswax to create a protective barrier. It locks in moisture and shields your skin from the elements, allowing it to heal. This is skincare the way that it was intended to be, which is simple, pure, and powerfully effective. It's a focus on skin-loving ingredients made right here in the USA. So if you'd like to order, head to NiemiSkincare.com, explore their tallow line, and don't forget to use my code, which is Candace10 at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your order. That's N-I-M-I, skincare.com. All right, first comment. KP writes, my copy of Making a Sandwich came in the mail today. Thank you for all that you do, Candace. Thank you for helping me navigate being a stay-at-home mom. Thank you for helping me find faith again, and thank you for fighting for Charlie. Love that comment so much. Also, yes, Make Him a Sandwich. I'm so proud of this book. Please tag me when you get it. I get really happy when you guys tag me in the book. Because it really was a labor of love. Like I said, I wrote every word of this and I did it outside of the Matrix. So there is no book publisher that is involved, no mainstream Simon Schuster person. We decided to self-publish and we used actually an amazing Catholic book printer to do this. So I'm proud of that. Groovin with Christ writes, I love that you are wearing the miraculous medal. Living in God's truth is like serenity on steroids. God bless. I should have mentioned, by the way, that you can buy this at makehimasandwich.com, makehimasandwich.com if you want to know where to get that book. And yes, it also helps the Catholic book printer that worked with us on this. And they were, like I said, phenomenal. John Diamond writes, Candace, welcome back. We missed you, of course. I know you're catching up on current events. Let me summarize. Everything is still fake and gay. Please give your husband and kids a huge hug from all of us. They are the ones who support you every day. Thank God for them. They are amazing. And it is because of my family that I genuinely, like, I know that I was saved because I had the confidence to be more of myself when I married George. And he has supported me through everything and me never having the fashionable opinion. And of course, it impacts as a knock-on effect with the world that he knew. I mean, my husband, think about this. My husband used to work with, and he used to donate to, like, the Friends of Israel when he was in the UK. And he married me. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say I was pro-Israel when we met, but life has changed dramatically, and he has been there and has always supported me. Stewart Dillian writes, hi, Candace, would you mind sharing your homeschooling plan sometime? My wife and I tried twice, traditional and unschooling, but it did not succeed. I'd love to know what's working for you. Thanks, and keep up the great work. First thing I want to say, it has been an absolute gift to have my kids at home. I can't explain to you, I am a happier person because of it. I can't believe we just send off the joy and go to work. Everything they say, it's so cute to watch the way their brains are forming and to realize that it's really hard to explain concepts when they take everything so literally. And the number one thing that I will say, and I will do a deeper episode on this, is micro schooling, right? So, like, I take the first 2 hours for the kids, but it is a family that has two kids that are around the same age. And then it's my two older kids, which are around the same age. And my other two are way too young. I have, you know, an infant and I have a soon to be 2-year-old. So they're not in it. Community, find a local community of people to do it with and figure it out. Obviously, I am blessed and I recognize that I get to work more in the afternoon and I don't have to have the, you know, the full 8-hour day, but you can figure it out and you will be a happier person if you do. Mrs. Preppy writes, do you hold hope that the Trump administration could come through with justice for Charlie? What if Trump is reconsidering his love for Israel? Like Charlie, there is Ivanka. Trump wouldn't and couldn't do anything without getting his daughter back. No, I don't hold out any hope at all, actually. And the fact that Trump even invited Cash Patel to that Charlie holiday thing, which I'll get into tomorrow, we're establishing a holiday, I think is proof to me that he wants this buried. I think actually Don Jr. may have even said that. He accepts the narrative. I'll have to dig up that clip for you guys tomorrow. I have no hope whatsoever. And I don't believe he's reconsidering his love for Israel. Miriam Adelson gave him $100 million and she was explicit. The $100 million meant that he would allow them to annex, not Gaza, the West Bank. So all this chatter of, oh, that would be a step too far. No, blah, blah, blah. He pre-agreed to that and he's going to make good on his pre-agreement. That's my perspective. Someone asked, did you background check Ian Carroll? No. I'm about to do his genealogy. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. RN Explorer writes, those hiding the truth better hope Candace does not turn out pregnant with a boy right now. I stand with the truth with Charlie and Candace. So true. You know me. I want hood rat stuff with my friends when I am pregnant with a boy. I need it all day, every day. Beck Build writes, great work, Candace, praying for your safety and that Charlie's prophecy that you will lead this movement to victory will empower you even more. Thank you for that. Pixie Chicky writes, Candace, you are a class act. You are fighting for Charlie just like he asked you. Quoting Maya Angelou, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. You have done that and more to bring truth to light. Charlie would be so proud. I know he's proud. I absolutely know that Charlie is proud and that everything that we discussed, I hate that he was right about his life, but I also know that I'm the right person to do this because I came through that matrix and I know what's up and what's down. Like, they just can't fool me with this stuff. You've done it to me so many times and I survived it, and you can't do the thing that you always do, which is try to convince the world the person is crazy, because I'm not giving them that. You did it with Kanye. Put him on a Psych 5150 hold. You did it to many people in Hollywood. I know how it works, and I'm teaching people to learn about your psychological operation, which is what it is. Sarah writes, go girl, love the Aussies. I'm so sad I won't be able to speak there. Gia writes, love you so much, Candace. Don't stop exposing these lies. You are a true friend. May God continue to bless you and your family. Love from Toronto. And that is all that we have today, you guys. If you'd like to support us, please go to makingmasandwich.com, read this book. You are going to love it. It's a great gift to give to anybody. It's a very funny book. It's a fun book, and it's an informative book, which is really important. And women, I definitely think it is on us to learn the origins of the feminist movement, because it's quite sinister. Everything doesn't look sinister, but of course it is sinister, and it's probably a part of the military-industrial complex. By the way, like I said, we restocked those cups. We don't know, but we know. CandaceOwens.com. It's another way you can support the show. Buy yourself a Standis cup. Other than that, you guys, I am just so grateful to you. Every single day, you are all in my prayers because I know that I am getting the strength from you. Charlie loved the crowd because of the energy. We talked about energy all the time. People that had good energy, bad energy. And it is because of you guys fighting for me. I see you guys in the comments. I see you guys going after people's throats when they make a video. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys tomorrow.